Send a movie idea.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So coming up now, listener, is our second guest on the Dream Factory. It's the boys from Hardcore Listing, John.
Yeah.
Chris and Stu.
Christopher and Stuart.
Recorded at the Whiff Inn in Essex.
Hallowed podcasting ground.
It was John and I's first big adventure together, really, and listen till the end for some more about that. Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many ideas as we like, but only one can be taken to the next stage, where you'll be invited to see it pulped at a recycling centre of your choice. I'm Joel, the man who puts the lust in Illustrate, and across from me is John Harris, a man truly only ever at ease in damp subterranean dwellings. And on top of all that, we are joined by Chris and Stu from the Hardcore Listing Podcast. Hello, chaps.
Good evening.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's all good.
It's all good.
Right, should we crack on?
Yeah, let's do it.
Movie idea, John.
I've got this one from Stevie. Armageddon Cheadle. So, is that Armageddon? What's Armageddon? Who remembers the plot?
So that is basically, what was it, Bruce Willis. Who else was in it? Steve Buscemi in Armageddon as well? And they basically, there's an asteroid about to hit Earth and then they have to go and save the planet by flying up there.
And drilling it.
Drilling into it. At one point, Steve Buscemi gets like space AIDS and he starts firing a machine gun everywhere. And
Why do they take a machine gun?
Yeah, but it was a good gun though. It was a gun. So yeah.
Was that the, and I don't want to miss a thing.
Exactly that. Yeah. The joke people always make about Armageddon is that in that film, they train drillers to be astronauts, and wouldn't it have just been easier to train astronauts to how to use a drill?
Well, in the...
They basically recruit some men from a mine and train them to be astronauts.
You're way ahead of me, Joel. I didn't even think of that once. I think that's probably why my favourite movies are B-movies. I just I question nothing. Okay, there's a shit. Jaws in space. I like that.
Ben Affleck's in it, right?
Yep.
And he did the commentary for the DVD and he talks about going up to Michael Bay and being like, why don't we just train astronauts how to drill? And Michael Bay just said, shut the fuck up.
Amazing.
I think you need to be sort of like quite single-minded as a director, and Michael Bay probably actually
single-minded as well. Yeah. So.
Every movie up until Transformers 12.
Whereas Ben Affleck turned around and thought, I don't care because 10 years' time from here, I will be on a surfboard showing the world my wang. Because have you seen that picture?
No.
It's ridiculous.
Ben Affleck with his
where you stand up on them boards.
And, yeah.
What's it called? Is that like...
Paddleboard?
Paddleboard, that's it, yeah. He's on that, and his girlfriend is...
No, do you know what, Stu?
I'm sorry. The wrong person.
Because I'm a connoisseur of A-list wangs, and that is actually Orlando Bloom.
It's Orlando Bloom! Oh, yeah. Fuck sticks, it really is, isn't it?
And it's so big, he's not even got an oar.
Whoa, I need to see.
It was Orlando Bloom.
Yeah, sorry. Oh. Right, so Armageddon Cheadle. Is he the asteroid?
I think Don Cheadle is voicing the asteroid.
Yeah, that's it. He's got to be in it.
Like that, his face on the front of it.
But he's doing it in the British accent from Ocean's 11.
So it's
dressed as his character from
Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights.
He's an Egyptian face. Oh yeah.
So Armageddon Cheadle is it's a shot-for-shot remake of the original Armageddon. Mm-hmm. but just instead of an asteroid, it's Don Cheadle dressed in Boogie Nights outfit, doing an English accent. Yeah. Yeah, we happy?
Yeah, I'm over the moon, mate.
Approved.
Stevie, there you go. There's your film. Have you got one, Joel?
Yes. So this one's from Claire. Unbelievably, John, this isn't just a pun on an existing film title, which is kind of our stock in trade.
Yeah.
It's more of a conceptual idea. It's a midwife crisis.
Okay.
Oh. So I'm picturing a maternity ward.
Yeah.
Maybe in Graves, maybe anywhere else. None of the midwives show up.
Chris is really
It's
invested.
Not really happened, mate. It's not really happened.
It's not a news story.
I think it's a knockabout comedy. I'm imagining one unlucky hospital porter steps up.
Okay, yeah. I like that. I was thinking janitor, yeah. Maybe...
A janitor.
Who would it be?
Midwife crisis.
I'd like to have Sid James do it, but unfortunately he's not available.
I'm going to go for hilarious actress Miranda Hart from Call the Midwife.
She's got experience. Yeah. So Miranda Hart plays the janitor. Yeah.
She's going to nail that role. Yeah. Our producers are going to take her on straight away.
With her clumsy-based humour. Brilliant.
So the midwife isn't there. So
there's no
janitor,
midwife, mate.
Played by Miranda Hart. Mm-hmm. And she's great.
Well, you know, there'll be.
She's got to juggle a few deliveries at first.
Yeah, exactly right.
Maybe she's at first. All the other, the theatre manager saying you can't let on that you're only a janitor.
So put that mop back.
Yeah. Over the course of the film, the pregnant women kind of get the idea that you know she's not a professional.
And she's,
you know.
She's obviously mid. Life crisis. She's doing it on a Harley Davidson as well.
See, when I heard midwife crisis, I thought of like a B zombie movie where only nurses and midwives and doctors were affected by the infection. But
yeah,
I prefer our one.
Yeah, you guys have got it.
I'll give us another one.
What about this one? Comes from Judith. Very lovely name, Judith. Men in Black Beauty.
Oh, that sounds... I don't even begin to speculate what that could be.
So are we doing blue movies? Because that's done.
I saw Men in Black Beauty on the playground at my school.
Theatre of the mind. Everyone knows what's happening there.
I think that the opening credits would be Will Smith in like a kind of a beginning of Bond credits kind of dancing woman.
Nice.
But just doing... that kind of noise himself, but actually doing that noise to the sound of to the Black Beauty theme tune.
Nice,
that'd be quite powerful.
You've missed your calling, mate. You should be doing credits.
Yeah, you pitched that perfectly as well. That's bang on. Everyone, if you just played those 2 seconds, everyone would know we were talking about Black Beauty. Yeah, exactly. Right. So Will Smith's there, and he's singing the theme from Black Beauty.
It's because Men in Black had there's some conflicts here, because Men in Black had a lot of special effects. Black Beauty kind of had a lot of special effects, but not as many. So what would we have here? Would there be extra special effects going on in this? It was a joke, Stuart.
There was no horse. It's all green screen. It's Andy Serkis. It's Andy Serkis' first role.
That was just rehashed footage of Lassie.
Splendid.
Yeah, and would Tommy Lee Jones feature in it? What would he?
He'd have to, wouldn't he? I think he's running the stable.
Erasing That's the memories of the horses. Post shoot.
You like Men in Black as well, don't
no,
you?
No, I don't. And I hate the fact that you assume that.
You're always saying that.
That's what I sort of didn't mind, because there was quite a good PC game.
Was there?
I think you'll all remember.
Yeah.
And it was pretty good. But Men in Black, I won't even say the second one. I won't say its title. It's one of about four movies that I won't say in full, because I hated it that bad that I won't say it by its name. A little bit like Voldemort. Oops.
Oh. But you loved Men in Black 3. That's my favourite film. Yeah.
Got the duvet set and everything.
I don't even remember the film that will not be named. But I quite like the original Men in Black. Well, I like the opening, getting Will Smith into the gang kind of bit. Because I just like early Will Smith like that. It's really always good fun. I'm a big fan of the recruiting bit of those films.
Yeah.
I've always gone about this. Like Ocean's 11, the best bits, getting the gang together.
Yeah.
The Marvel films, best bits. Getting the gang together. Then it normally just descends into like a shoot 'em up.
Also, had the same with Police Academy 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
it's recruiting them. Sort of recruiting, yeah.
It's always the best
Police
bit.
Police Academy 7? Or
I think it was on a hot air balloon, that one.
Well, the entire academy.
Yeah. No, it was. There was just, the air was full of hot air balloons with all the cadets and. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. No, I think getting the gang together is the best bit. And the second one, it did that typical Hollywood thing where it was just... I think a lot of the time in Hollywood, they think a sequel just needs to mean... Because it says two, it means you have to double absolutely everything in the movie.
Yeah. Two Will Smiths.
Yeah, there were two Will Smiths. So, was Michael Jackson in the sequel?
No, he was
in a cameo.
One,
oh, he has a cameo in one of them, didn't he?
Yeah.
Where he's
on a screen.
Yeah, and he's saying he's an alien.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite good from him, really.
Really?
Yeah. Laughing at himself.
Yeah.
Poking fun at himself.
Right, in this one, I don't want Michael Jackson. I want Bianca Jackson.
So are we not going to go with the idea that the horse in Black Beauty is an alien? Is that not?
I more imagine just Will Smith riding around.
I can take it. I can go there.
Yeah. Is it shirt off, no saddle?
It's up to you, Stu.
Yeah, I mean, that's whatever you want to picture.
A bit weird.
I reckon it's shirt off, no
saddle.
You're
trying to force it down that direction again.
Yeah. Just, it's been a lot of male nudity coming from you so far tonight.
Sorry.
I'm not talking about what you're wearing.
You've got a rope and alien element in there, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, make that horse a sexy alien horse. No, I've added sexy there. You've got into my head, Stu.
A topless, sexy alien horse riding through the fields.
With a cartoon horse face, though. Okay. Like, now them kind of like Disney horses, the ones that look a bit clumsy, have that face on it.
Okay, cool. I was thinking more Rent-A-Ghost. Wasn't there a horse in...
Dobbin.
Gobbin, yeah. That was cool.
Not Gobbin. Dobbin.
Dobbin.
Gobbin. I think Rent-A-Ghost might be a little bit before our time.
Yeah. Jeez.
Who are the famous horses from popular culture from our childhood, John? That one from Toy Story 2?
My Little Pony.
My Little Pony, still a fan.
Early. Bullseye is the Toy Story one, sorry.
We were discussing what's the best Pixar film at work today.
And we're going to have that discussion again now, Stu. Oh,
what a beautiful link.
Toy Story 1, 2 or 3?
Without a shadow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That would have been a terrible episode of Hardcore Listing, wouldn't it? All right, that's it.
Thanks, guys.
I'm not a fan of the 3D movies.
Really?
Yeah.
That's all right.
Whenever I watch them, I enjoy them. But I don't... no, look. What I mean by that is I won't go to see them unless I watch. Taking my niece to see them.
Yeah.
Other than that. Like, I won't go, oh shit, the new Despicable Me's. I've not seen any of those.
Yeah.
But every time I watch them, I'm like, I don't know what I've got against 3D movies.
You just had a massive argument with yourself that makes no sense.
Nobody spoke for about 5 minutes then.
So that's, that's Men in Black Beauty.
Give us another one.
What about this one? Spider-Man, but it's a spider that's been bitten by a human and wakes up with human attributes. That's from Harvey.
I mean, they've just explained the entire movie, right? What are we adding to that?
What can we really add?
A round of applause. Yeah.
That would be good. What's happened? I need a little bit of detail here. Mm. Does the spider wake up thinking it's a pre-existing person in a Freaky Friday kind of situation and tries to like put a suit and tie on and go to work? Or is the spider still a spider with a spider's brain, but has opposable thumbs?
What human attributes would benefit a spider? Ability to speak.
Savvy. good
charm. Language?
Good business
language.
Chops.
Language. Yeah, good business chops and language.
I mean, I like a web, but a house is much better. Cars.
Cars are good. Cars in the English language are basically the only things we've got that spiders haven't.
I think it would just be repulsed by itself if it showed up like that. Eating and that. It's a pretty gross behaviour, isn't it? How spiders do it, so... I think it's got quite a depressing notion.
Would naturally try and walk on all fours, I imagine. It's not going to just stand up and walk, is it?
Yeah.
That'd be quite fun.
So what size is it? It's still spider size.
That's key. Yeah.
That is key.
It has a little tiny spider car.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bit of fun.
Yeah.
And it fights spider crime.
Was there Honey, I Shrunk the Arachnids.
What's the name of this movie? Because it was just a very long
X-ray. I imagine it's probably Man-Spider, yeah.
What's the enemy of the spider? It's the human, isn't it? Really?
Birds?
Crush him. Birds?
Yeah, they're pretty tricky, aren't
they? What's the big villain of a Man-Spider film?
If you're a spider, what is like your kryptonite? What animal is like gunning for you?
Well, yeah, birds are pretty much your one. Vulture was in the Homecoming.
You know what?
You've seen a few
loads of vultures in my garden.
Vulture was in the most recent Spider-Man movie.
Right.
So, yeah.
I think
avian.
I've seen cats eat a fair few spiders.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good point.
They're fast.
They go for them, don't they?
Mm.
Catwoman, so.
What else is a spider's kryptonite? It's probably just a plug hole, isn't it?
Yeah.
They die when they go down there. What happens?
Well, we can explore that in this film.
Let's do it. Yeah,
that's... So the villain's lair is down the plug hole.
Yeah. So that, yeah, so the spider has to conquer its greatest fear in order to get to the villain down the plug hole.
And
there you go,
like Sarlacc pit style.
Yeah. Oh.
And at the end of the film, he manages to get out thanks to his opposable thumbs, which the other spiders don't have, which is why they can't get out of the drain.
I think Stan Lee definitely had one over us on that one. Spider-Man still has a bit of a stronger concept.
He's just had such a head start. Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing with Stan Lee.
If Spider-Man was the size of a spider, that would just change everything, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, go on. Elaborate.
Well, I'm just saying.
I don't want to be inside your head for this.
I mean, it'd be a weird film, wouldn't it? Because it would be like watching Honey, I Shrunk.
So is it like Tobey Maguire's just tiny?
Yeah. He's quite small at the best
of times. Is it Tobey Maguire in 1, 2 or 3? Is it like Emo Maguire when he's doing that little jazz dance?
Oh, that is weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Isn't that basically Ant-Man?
Yeah.
Exactly, but Ant-Man can get bigger. It's probably a little bit
bigger. Oh, yeah, he can, yeah.
He can get even bigger as well.
Yeah. I saw an amazing imagining of Spider-Man. I hunt for it all the time. Not all the time, but quite a lot. Back in about 2003, there was this little... there was this little Flash cartoon. And it was back when Tobey Maguire was Spider-Man. And it said, you know, when Peter Parker gets bitten by a spider... And it sort of builds up the tension, and he becomes really sick, and then it's just Tobey Maguire in a hospital bed suffering from leukemia, basically. it was the Flash artwork of Tobey Maguire, like his skin was grey. Yeah. It was amazing.
And how many hours a week are you putting into finding that?
Yeah, more than you
can't remember back in 2003.
No, I've searched.
If you have that video, please let Chris
know. Yeah, oh, God, honestly.
What about The Little Mermaid in Manhattan from Zach?
Good, okay. So Ariel's, the next step is to make it to the big city, right? She met the guy.
So made in Manhattan.
Happy as Larry, so she's looking for a career.
Is that J-Lo?
It's J-Lo, yeah.
Okay.
Joel said that, so.
Yeah, Joel's a connoisseur. J-Lo, obviously.
I've got basically an encyclopedic knowledge of rom-coms around the early 2000s, owing to the fact I just live with my mum and my sister. So I was subjected to them on a nightly basis, essentially. And that's my excuse. And that's why I'm sticking to it.
So we're going Ariel. We're going Little Mermaid. We're not going Daryl Hannah Splash.
I'd much prefer that one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you've got to try and merge cartoons with live action. Yeah. And unless you've got Roger Rabbit's budget, it's going to be a fucking nightmare.
You guys ever seen Splash?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Chris, you're being very considerate to our budget, though. That's very kind of you.
I like to think of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I definitely think Daryl Hannah.
What happened to Splash?
Splash was a huge film. Where is it Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks, mate.
Tom Hanks, yeah. Mm. And Daryl Hannah. And he falls in love with a mermaid. And there's quite an iconic scene where she's in the bath, isn't it? And she's quite foxy as well.
Mm. You lent me that on VHS, but when it got to the bath scene, it just went all snowy. Like you'd watch that scene hundreds of times.
So if we go with Ariel...
all right, so... Oh, I understand. You want a sexier mermaid in this? Or do we have J-Lo as a mermaid?
Hold on.
Foxy mermaid seems to be your area of expertise.
She's got the hips for it.
I was about to say, yeah. Yes. What's the widest fish you can think of?
she's got the scales for it.
I've got a mermaid question for everyone.
Okay. Good.
Shoot.
Why do they make clothes for their top half?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're essentially
they're not clothes.
Naked,
mostly
right?
Sort of oyster bras.
Yeah, they make clam bras, but then the bottom half is naked, right?
Yeah.
Because there's nothing hanging out.
Is that why?
Yeah, that's... You're only wearing
that for modesty.
You know that rule about clothes, don't you? You only cover things that are hanging out.
Yeah.
That's the number one rule with clothes.
Yeah. Take your eyes off my scales.
Yeah, and what would you put on that bottom half?
Yeah.
A sock.
A great sock. A giant sock.
Not that I've seen many mermaid films, but do they use their arms?
I knew exactly where you were going with that.
Or do
I knew
just
exactly
have
where you're going
side
with that.
And it's all towel.
It's all towel. It's all towel and fin.
Yeah.
They don't just go for like the kind of breaststroke They should do. It'd be quicker.
Yeah, it would be quicker.
You're right.
Difficult to sync those up though. Those movements.
J-Lo's a very, very good mover.
She's versatile.
She really is. Yeah. If anyone can do it, she can.
You're right though, Stu. I think the mermaid community are highly inefficient in their swimming.
Yeah.
And I think it needs to be addressed.
I think you'd put off the sailors if they swam like that. It's not very elegant.
It's more aggressive, isn't it?
You're not going to lure anyone onto the side with
that
sort of
swim. So she's basically going from bath to bath in Manhattan.
Yep.
the occasional pond. Do people have ponds in Manhattan? I don't suppose they do.
Why are you looking at me, mate?
Rooftop pools in the posher place. Yep. Posher parts, maybe she's just loitering in them. J-Lo can. She's fucking J-Lo.
She's got...
Yeah. So in this film, she's J-Lo. J-Lo's become a mermaid and she doesn't want anyone to know about it. That's what this film is.
Yeah. Keeping it on the down low.
Yeah.
Wait, pop star Jennifer Lopez is actually a mermaid?
Yeah, that's what that's the reveal of
the
film.
That's quite a fun film.
Yeah.
I could imagine that.
That works. There's an actual... Yeah,
there you go. Cameo from Michael Phelps at some point.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah,
I actually, when I was having my pot noodle before I came over, I thought of a few movies.
Oh, brilliant!
Which flavour?
Bombay Bad Boy.
The only one. That's the correct answer. Do you ever have two, or is that?
No, I sometimes. I sometimes have two pot noodles.
Sometimes what? Scurvy?
Rickets.
Yeah.
There's no vegetables really. Despite them looking like peas, they're not. I don't even know if they're peas.
The first time we recorded the Drunk Cast here, you turned up with two pot noodles, didn't you?
But they were
wearing them like a mermaid's bra.
They're also king size ones, which is piggish.
And you're not averse to putting it in a sandwich either, are you?
Hang on.
I won't put it in a sandwich. Unless you could include an open top sandwich, i.e., two bits of toast. And put some pot noodle on top.
Pot noodle bruschetta.
Yeah. Try it. You'll know when your life's at a real low point.
When you're pouring a pot noodle onto a bit of bread.
Yeah, yeah. And having purchased grated cheese, don't even grate it yourself, just sprinkle
ready
it on.
Ready grated cheese.
I should also add at this point, this is the first time anyone's ever said the word bruschetta in graze. Ever. What's that? Toast, bruv.
Yeah, it's toast.
Fancy toast. So I thought of a few recent releases, and one was Maid Runner 2049.
Oh.
Futuristic Tale of Servitude. That's as far as I got.
No, that's a bit further than most people get.
But really, I was thinking it's a bit boring, but again, on the production front, it could be shot on a micro budget.
Yeah.
So again, big win there for producers.
I reckon it's still nearly 3 hours long.
Cleaning run room. Yeah.
I thought like that would be quite a mindfully relaxing thing to watch, you know.
I've also Stu's looking at my other movie notes. The first one was a play on It. It's actually Twit, and I've written Stu Whiffen's autobiography. 90% is him just watching the movie Shame.
Such a great film. Why do I get so much shit about loving that film?
Oh, and that's also, I don't want to bring it up, but that is, you know, the Fassbender Willy film, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yes.
Yeah, hang on.
Orlando Bloom,
Any film.
The VHS of Slash. Oh no, she hasn't got a penis. But... Stu, you want to read out one of these movie titles I thought of?
Funkirk.
the problem I have with Dunkirk, very serious.
Very, really?
Yeah, no light, no light and shade. Yeah.
Shit date movie. So, go on, read out what happens. Tell the premise.
Read out what happens.
All the guns turn into quasar guns.
But then on the drive up here as well, I thought, what happens if all the guns turn into dildos and instead of dropping bombs, they were just carpet bombing that liquid ecstasy over the beach? See how that turned out.
Just a massive rave.
Whole different sort of party, that.
Just imagine Christopher Nolan on set just turning around and going, but what if all the guns were dildos?
Let's keep it light, guys. Come on.
Yeah. Just more slapstick would have been good in Dunkirk, you know.
Chris, you've had a breakdown, a nervous breakdown. Who's going to be the one to tell him?
Yeah. I don't think anyone can tell him. He's too powerful. No. He's way too powerful.
No, that's a great idea, Chris. Yeah, yeah.
Similar to the Michael Bay thing earlier.
Yeah.
Harry Styles approached him. Do you think they should just be normal guns? Fuck off.
Mr. Hardy, at this point, just we'll just zoom in, hit the red button, and the dildos will just fly out of your brain.
It'll be like Dr. Strangelove, and Tom Hardy will be riding a giant dildo towards the beach in Dunkirk.
And in post, they're listening. Oh, what if we replace all the explosions of... Funko, get it made. That's what I'm saying.
I'm up for it.
All explosions should be... the audio should be performed by Louis Spence. Ooh!
And the last one I came up with was just Wogan.
Say no more, Chris.
Yeah. And all you do is replace Wolverine with Terry Wogan. That's it.
That's the shit.
That's good.
As you say, John, I mean, I didn't really need to explain that. That was bought then and there, wasn't it? And,
that could also be called Hogan.
Yeah, that would be good.
Well, seeing as Chris has brought his two to the party, shall we bring ours?
Yeah, let's do ours. Shall I go first?
Yeah.
Mine's a pretty standard switcheroo, right, of an 80s classic. Mine's A London Werewolf in America.
Like it, yeah. It's actually Mr. Whiffin's favourite horror movie, isn't it, mate?
It is my favourite horror movie, yeah.
So I'm thinking Cockney Werewolf.
Yeah, definitely.
In the Big Apple.
Yeah. Perfect. Oh, I swear, I went and I get a biscuit. A what? A biscuit. Yeah. What a fucking biscuit with me cup of Rosie, don't I? No idea what you're talking about, sir. Have a nice day. Fuck this shit. And just eats everyone.
Who's playing the lead role?
The Cockney Werewolf.
Danny Dyer.
It's got to be Danny Dyer, isn't it?
All day long.
All day long.
It's like, just going to put that one up.
Danny Dyer, Cockney Werewolf in the Big Apple.
Yeah.
That's all we need, really. That's all we need.
Yeah.
John, what's yours?
Right, I've got two superhero ones. So I'll say both of the titles and we'll see which one you guys like more. So Anchorman.
Nice. Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep. Or The Just Ice League. So it's a collection of superheroes, but their powers are just all about freeze. They just all have freezing power.
And Anchorman, I'm assuming, is just a guy with wields an anchor.
Yeah, it's like Thor, but with an anchor on a chain.
That's quite cool.
Okay.
What do you prefer? Just Ice
League?
And
he presents the news at 10.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I'm going with Just Ice League.
Yeah. So they're all just Mr. Freeze, basically, from Batman.
Yeah. Well, some could do things like their powers could be really, really limited in terms of what they freeze, like windshields.
Bank robbery. The getaway car's there. No, you're not getting anywhere, mate. You've got to get a credit card out and scrape that bad boy.
Cool.
One of them stands outside Tesco's, and as excited kids come out with the pack of ice poles that their mama bought them that aren't frozen, just pass them to him. He's like,
Ryan Gosling, drive. He's never getting away. It's done.
So that's the thing. I think maybe you guys are right. Is the villain has managed to take down all of the big powerful ones, the ones who can make it like sleet. The ones who can turn anything to ice, and you're left with the guy who just can ice windscreens. And somehow he has to be the hero. Somehow the final sequence is some sort of car-based sequence. And
yeah, multi-story.
Yeah.
And so the big heroes and the big bad are all in a car together. So you've got Frozone from Incredibles, he can be in it.
Yep.
There's the ice guy from X-Men. I can't think of his name. They're just in the boot.
It's close, yeah.
And
Dr. Freeze, I think it'd have to be Arnold Schwarzenegger from Batman Forever.
Getting back.
As a hero?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he could have been. He kind of was just sort of like looking for a cure for his wife. I'm giving you too much. Yeah.
He's an anti-hero or an anti-freeze hero, if you will.
Oh, I love what you've done there.
By the way, anyone listening should look up Arnold Schwarzenegger's best quotes from movies. It runs for about 5 minutes. And he's got some as Dr. Freeze, like, let's kick some ice.
the only one I remember is, I think it's called The Fifth Estate? Is that one?
The Fifth Estate?
Fifth something. And it's about cloning, and he clones himself, and then he kills both him and the clone of him, and the clone falls on top of him, and he goes, "When I said go fuck yourself, I didn't mean it literally."
I can't remember the name of that movie. But he also says in that movie, "Why don't you go clone yourself?" And the guy says, "Why? So you could go fuck yourself."
Fair enough.
Sorry.
Oh, Arnie.
Justice League, I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Is the villain some sort of fire-based
villain?
Yeah. I assume. Get it made.
I think the villain is a McDonald's apple pie.
Yes.
Voiced by Don Cheadle.
Hottest thing on the planet.
Making a killing, right. That guy.
Look, I've got an issue with McDonald's apple pies.
Okay.
And that is that a pie doesn't live in a cardboard sleeve.
No, it doesn't.
You cannot call that thing a pie. What that is a punishment.
It is.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had so many apple pies in my time, and I don't know if I've ever actually enjoyed one.
I do, but the sugar crash is so hard.
It is hard, yeah.
It's like, it's...
Do they still stock them?
I think still, you can still find them.
Well, I don't know.
It's like an apple toasty, isn't it? It's not like...
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing pie about it.
There's nothing pie... Yeah, it isn't.
It's not a pastry.
No, what is that stuff?
It's a deep fried pastry, I reckon. Because somewhere at some point it was a pastry.
It's a scab. It is a scab. It's just it's those scabs collected up. Yeah.
Oh, can I have an apple scab, please? You could get another for 50p. Oh, thanks.
I wonder if you send McDonald's a letter saying that technically that's not a pie, we could get it rebranded as an apple scab.
Apple sleeve.
An apple sleeve.
I'm just thinking back to Anchorman. And I think the idea is that he
does it get blue?
No.
At any point?
No.
Is there an adult film called Anchorman?
No. You looked at me, John, there.
sorry, let me do that again. Is there an adult film called Anchorman?
But yes, there is.
Yeah, I think he should be delivering the news. But just as the news starts, they go, "Don, good evening, welcome to the news at 10. We'll now go over to anchor, whoever, and they go over to him. And as they do it, two of the world's strongest men plonk this massive anchor into his arms. And it's, can he manage to get through the half-hour news read holding it?
And it's Hugh Edwards.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a quest.
That's it. We've reached the end. So normally at this point, we pick the best pitch, and it's normally you or I win, but I would give it this week to Funkirk.
Yeah. There's been so many, but yeah. Funkirk is probably my favourite.
It's been a highlight. Yeah.
Smashing.
So thank you very much.
Thank you so much for coming along.
Plug your podcast.
My phone just went off, so welcome to what our podcast sounds like.
Exactly, that is what our podcast sounds like. We've got a weekly podcast that goes out on Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces Network, available for free at Acast. And it's myself and Chris, and we do top five lists where we invite guests on, and sometimes we don't have guests, me and you just have a little chin wag, don't we?
Yeah.
But generally, previous guests have included...
Gal Porter, Scroobius Pip, lots Mike Joyce from the Smiths,
Block Party,
Andy Ellis, which was an amazing
Mrs. England, yeah. Coming up, we've got recordings coming out in the next couple of weeks from Hugh Morgan, Frank Bruno,
John Kennedy.
Are we
going to stop now? Have we plugged that enough?
I think we're done.
We've literally taken up half of
it. Amazing stuff. So yeah, hardcore listening. Get it. Enjoy. In all your Thanks. Podcast places. Yeah. Cheers, chaps.
Oh, no. Thank you. It's been so much fun.
Great guys.
They really were. And I mean, you won't hear this, but I thought we'd say goodbye, pack up and leave immediately. We stayed for ages just chatting away with them, chewing the fat, drinking fresh beer that Stu just had
on tap.
Amazing.
Really good.
It's probably the ultimate man cave. Or maybe I'd put a games console in there and I'd...
You'd never leave.
No.
So John and I have known each other quite a long time, but it was our first big adventure as a twosome, I'd say.
Yeah, so it's the first time we left London as a duo, but little do you listener know that Joel and I are both seasoned veterans in the touring industry.
Seasoned entertainers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I used to be in a band, and in that time...
What were they called?
No Longer Bandits.
cool.
And we
you gave up a life of being bandits.
Well,
to form
our
a
previous
band.
Name was Betamax Bandits, which is a reference to the Mighty Boosh.
It is, yeah, the Betamax Bandit.
And for some reason, I got worried about copyright things, like as if either the Mighty Boosh or the inventor of Betamax was going to come after us. But anyway.
That's why no band is named after another thing. They're all completely original names.
Yes, Joel. Right, so I've been to Boston, UK.
Massachusetts?
UK.
You gigged in Boston?
Yeah,
home
Boston,
of the Red Sox.
UK. England. And I'll be... Fun fact, I didn't know there was an English Boston until we went
But
to
you
do,
know
I
that
think.
Most places in America are named after places in the UK.
It's not called New Boston. Like, at least America has the decency of normally saying new something.
Yeah, very true, very true. Have you ever been to Orleans? It's just near Ipswich.
Isn't New Orleans like part of... Is that a French reference?
It is. Yeah. It's because of the whole French quarter, isn't it? Yeah. It was a silly joke.
Oh, sorry, Joel.
Have you ever been to Mexico? It's the original Mexico.
Yorkshire.
Yeah, the original Mexico is just near Harrogate. And obviously they called it New Mexico.
Yeah. Right. And no one showed up. That was it. It's not a fun story.
No one showed up.
One person showed up. She was German and she liked it.
Oh,
she liked
nice.
Our band.
Bought some merch.
The turnout was so pathetic that we were first on and no other band played.
Oh, mate. You headlined. You headlined in Boston, mate. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Lovely stuff.
I've got a similar tale of woe, although I think this one might be of more woe. Because you're in a band, so there's some sort of camaraderie there, right?
Yeah. We've definitely done loads of gigs to barely anyone, and when you're in a band, it's fine because...
And that's why this podcast feels so natural to you.
Nearly almost all our gigs were to no one. But then it just feels like a glorified band practice. You just turn around and play to each other, so it's fine.
Don't you just give them the hits?
What, each other
Shut
the
up
hits?
And play the hits. Yeah.
The bartender.
Don't know any new stuff.
We impressed a lot of bartenders, John.
Yeah, they were loving it. They're basically getting paid for nothing. They thought, if no longer bandits are coming into town, I can just kick back and read a book behind that bar because I'll be doing very little work. Apart from providing your, I imagine, pathetic rider.
Yeah.
Did you ever get a rider?
No, I don't think we ever had a rider, mate.
Mate, that's the dream, isn't it? First time we get a rider. From what I've seen, my limited experience is that the initial riders are lavish, and as bands sort of grow older, their riders become much more kind of normal.
So anyway, tell us about your tale of woe, Jim.
So I, for a period of 12 to 18 months, thought it would be a good idea to be a stand-up comedian.
Yeah?
I'd spent 19 years being a stand-up guy. Hey. I thought I'm going to move this onto the stage. No, I gave it a go. I think it's quite a classic sort of thing to try while you're at uni, isn't it? Because there's quite a lot of gigs and everyone thinks that's kind of what they're going to do. And I was obviously massively into Stuart Lee because I was a pretentious student. I still am in Stuart Lee, but I have subsequently discovered that other stand-up comedians are good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Upwards of three.
Well. And no. That's generally a thing, though, is that I honestly thought when I was a teenager, Stuart Lee was the good comedian and all the others were rubbish. And obviously I've subsequently learned that stand-up's brilliant and there are hundreds of amazing comedians. Anyway, I gigged all over Kent, mate. I was one of the big names on the Kent circuit and occasionally dabbled in London, but terrifying, really. I was offered the chance to gig in Doncaster.
Where's that?
That's a long way north. It's further north than Boston.
Okay.
If you can imagine such a thing.
I can't. Physically can't.
So anyway, it was a Kent-based comedian called El Baldinio.
I've seen him.
He's brilliant. He's fucking brilliant. He's from Manchester. He is a comedy magic act, and he's hilarious.
Yes.
He's excellent. He said to me, there's been an offer of a 10-minute slot at this gig in a theatre. A theatre! So it's quite exciting. In Doncaster. It's unpaid, and about 9 people have turned it down. Do you want to sit in my car for 6 hours while we go to Doncaster? And I was like, yeah, I'll give it a go. I've got no plans this Saturday night. Let's go up to Doncaster and have a go.
What's a six-hour car journey with El Baldinio like?
Non-stop thrill ride, mate.
Oh, I can imagine.
Everything's a magic trick. Everything's magic. Just changing radio stations with a wave of the hand. Incredible. When secretly he's just doing it on his steering wheel. Like, how's he doing this? So I was riding a bit of a high at that time as well because I'd had 2 gigs in a row that weren't disastrous. So generally it would be like real sort of feast and famine kind of vibe. One would go okay, then one would go horribly, then one would go okay. But I think I was riding on 2 going okay in a row. So I really thought I was making it.
Yeah.
I thought 2 have gone pretty well playing in like a cafe and the top room of a pub in Kent. I want to big things here. I imagine the tour, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And you were like thinking, if the last two gigs are anything to go, 100% record.
Yeah, exactly right. I'm on for the hat trick here. I'm going to blow these theatre goers away. They're not going to believe what their eyes. So we drive up to Doncaster. We get there. It's quite a nice little theatre. People have paid like 12 quid to come, which I found quite intimidating because normally the gigs we were doing were free.
Yeah.
Or like a quid, 2 quid on the door.
Five at max.
Yeah, big time. Anyway, so people were expecting, like, I think a standard that I hadn't really achieved and never would achieve. Anyway, so the first act comes out, is really great, and then I get to do a 10-minute slot, and I go out, and there are just 30, I would say, men no younger than 50 from Yorkshire, like full flat cap wearing, pint of bitter holding men.
Your audience, your prime audience.
And I think, great. Well, I'm just going to relate to these guys on a level. You know, they're going to see me, I'm going to see them. No words need be exchanged. We'll just understand each other. Anyway, no, I got out and there was a cold feeling in the air of, this is like a southern twat. I was wearing like a tweed blazer, which was my uniform for the stand-up thing. I went out there and I never really had any material. That wasn't my shtick. That wasn't my thing. I wasn't a great improviser. I just wasn't very good at writing jokes. So I thought I'd have things I'd talk about and I thought I could be funny enough about those things. Anyway, I went out there and I thought, what I'll do is I'll break the ice. And I was like, never really been to Yorkshire before, guys. So what I thought I'd do on the way up is I thought I'd observe some Yorkshire traditions. And I was like, on the way up, I poured some gravy on my chips. You know, I said another thing about cricket. And then the third thing I said was, and I pulled over into a lay-by and murdered a prostitute. And there was a stony silence. Like, it had been silent before, but somehow they managed to extract some more silence out of themselves.
Like a vacuum.
Yeah, yeah. It essentially entered a vacuum of comedy. And then I was like, God, you know, never has the North-South divide been more obvious than it is here in this room. And then I just sort of flailed around for 10 minutes, and it was horrible. Like, it was absolutely horrible. And I'd look at my watch, and seconds were just, like, taking hours to pass by. Like, I was just staring at my watch for 5 seconds, not saying anything, just observing the second hand. It's like fucking mocking me. So it was an absolute disaster. No one laughed. In the final 30 seconds, one of the audience went, tell us a joke, which is agony. And I cobbled something together, attempted a joke, no one laughed. And then I'd found a confetti cannon like backstage. I think it had been left over from like a pantomime or something. I found this confetti cannon. This is so bleak. These 30 men were just sat there in this theatre just staring at me. And I went outside the stage. They were probably feeling quite relieved for a second that I'd left. And I came back with this confetti cannon. And I just went, right, everyone, here we go. And I started doing the countdowns. 10, 9. No one joined in. I did the whole countdown on my own. Got to 0 and went bang with this confetti cannon and cheered and walked off. First live show the Dream Factory do, 2 confetti cannons.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.